And good morning, brethren and guests, if we have any guests. And a happy Sabbath to all, including those on the webcast and phone hookup. So here we are again, past another fall holiday season. Already looking forward to another spring holiday season. And all the while praying and looking forward to the kingdom of God. To begin this morning, let's look at a couple of verses that's in a prophecy for the kingdom of God. But it is also good to consider for the fall holiday seasons and a time when we're going through the winter and the spring and the spring holidays. Actually a good scripture to live by all the time, but especially in this season and considering the things the world is throwing at us nowadays and the things that we're seeing going on. This is a prophecy in Ezekiel 11 and verse 19. And we're cutting in at the middle of the prophecy to look at a specific subject. Again, Ezekiel 11 and verse 19. Verse 19. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh. Ezekiel repeats this prophecy in chapter 36 in verses 26 and 27. So my title this morning is Maintaining a Heart of Flesh. The process of converting our hearts from a stony heart to a heart of flesh begins whenever we begin understanding God's way in baptism in receiving the Holy Spirit. But we must maintain it and not let it go back to a heart of stone. After the fall holidays, it's a good time to talk about this subject. As I mentioned, in the world around us, it's continually bombarding us with things immoral. And we could, if we become weak, we could be influenced. What kind of stone is being talked about here in Ezekiel? After all, there's lots of different kinds of stones. Some fruit that have large seeds is sometimes referred to as a stone, the seed that is, like a peach or an avocado. There are grindstones, sometimes referred to as millstones, used to grind corn and wheat and for making bread. And there are whetstones, used to sharpen cutting instruments, sometimes called wet rocks, more commonly in our neck of the woods. I have several types of wet rocks. One specific stone is made and designed for sharpening fish hooks. That one stays in my tackle box. There are precious stones, or gemstones, sometimes referred to simply as a rock. Maybe you've heard the expression sometimes, "Did you see the rock on that girl's finger?" But the heart of stone that Ezekiel was referring to is the characteristics of a rock, hard in firmness and hard to change. Jeremiah 17:9 states, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The deceitful heart is a heart of stone. And who can know it? God knows it. And the next verse answers that question. Verse 10, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind." The heart and mind is tied together and referred together in many places in the Bible. The heart is desperately wicked to begin with, and a heart of stone, and that God is the one who can change it. And Jesus stated in John 6:44, a very familiar scripture, "No one can come to me," this is Jesus talking, "no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." We, the church, are called, chosen, baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. And through the working of the Holy Spirit, we are converted. Our stony heart becomes a heart of flesh. And this is a heart and mind that is soft and pliable, a heart that can be worked with and can be taught. And we have to endure. Matthew 10:22, Jesus said, this is Matthew 10:22, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." So we have to maintain that heart of flesh. We have to be steadfast. But Satan would love to trip us up and take our crown that is laid up for us. And we know all the scriptures about Satan walking about as a roaring lion, looking to see who he might deceive. And Jesus explained that when he was teaching about the parables, especially the parable of the sower. In Matthew 4:13-17, he explains that. Verse 13 of Matthew 4. "And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How when you understand, how then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones who by the wayside where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones who sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time." It may be referring to a short time. Most of us here today have endured for a long time, and it appears that our race may be on the home stretch. It would be terrible if Satan would take away the word from our heart, and with it our crown of righteousness. We maintain our heart of flesh by immersing ourselves in the word. From our hearts comes our response to God and his word. David's prayers in Psalm 111:43 was this, verse 43, "And take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hope in your ordinances." He kept the commandments, and God's promises was his hope. Also in Psalm 51, which he referred to as the repentance chapter sometimes, verses 10 and 11, very familiar scripture. I even have a song based on this scripture. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Our spirit has to be steadfast, and we do that by keeping ourselves close to God with a heart of flesh. Verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence. and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. This should be our prayer as we maintain our heart of flesh. Prayers like these of David are good examples for us to follow, and a lot of the Psalms are good examples of things we can do to maintain our heart of flesh. God's desire is that his people love him with all their hearts. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. It's a review of the first commandment. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. A reference to the first commandment, I said. Jesus said we are blessed in our hearts if our hearts are pure. We need to keep our hearts pure. Matthew 5 and verse 8. One of the Beatitudes, the attitudes that we need to be in. Verse 8 of Matthew 5. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. These are the people who have been called out of the world, and their heart of stone has been converted into a heart of flesh, and they endured. So let's do our best to maintain our heart of flesh as we go through this winter. A time when we see things all around us where evil is called good and good is called evil. Let's don't be tripped up by any of Satan's tricks. But I want to close with a statement that Mr. Kubik made in this week's E-News. It was like he reviewed my entire sermonette in one sentence. In a statement that fits what we're saying here in our subject here. And he said, and now as we all settle back into daily routines after the Feast of Tabernacles, I want to encourage, even urge, all in the Church of God to do so while, and then he quotes from Hebrews 12, verse 2, New Living Translation. All in the Church of God to do so while keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So let's do our best to maintain our hearts of flesh throughout until the spring holidays.